Hey, Victor.
Hi, hi guys. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
We'll give it a few minutes before we start. Florian, are you able to describe?
Yeah.
Thank you. All right, let's begin. Thank you for joining. Today we're going to talk about an update from the Eureka team regarding gateway choices. So I will just let them have it. Craig, are you good to go?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Lamide. Okay, so hopefully you folks aren't surprised by this. We tried to give you guys at least a week to sort of get caught up on where things are, provided links and so forth. But I will touch on sort of some background really quick, then give you guys an update on what we did as far as looking at alternatives and essentially looking at all of our various options. Go through the methodology and so forth, and then sort of do a quick review of the summary. And then hopefully we can figure out some next steps from here. So starting with the background, you're probably aware of this already, but a while back, Kong Incorporated, the corporation that was one of the primary contributors to the Kong open source project, they changed their policy with regard to contributions to the open source version. Basically, they said we're not going to support it anymore, meaning they're not going to contribute any new features to it. Bug fixes will happen far less frequently, and they're not going to be building and distributing sort of binary distros of it either. So basically, handing it off to the larger community and saying, it's still open source. You're free to do with it whatever you want. We're not going to be contributing a lot to it going forward. So that's what prompted a lot of this. And so we took a step back and we looked at a variety of options, including what would it look like to continue to use Kong, building it from source ourselves, possibly helping with security patches and so forth. There's a whole wiki page outlining those details. It felt at the time it felt like maybe it wasn't a great fit because it's not really a Java native thing, and we don't have a lot of Lua expertise on the project here and so forth. We also looked at Kong Enterprise, and we talked to the sales guys over there and seeing if we could work out a deal, getting the open source sort of a free enterprise license and so forth. And it felt really cost prohibitive, and they were trying to sell us something else as sort of this cloud managed service and so forth. It wasn't going to work out. And so that left us, if it's not going to be Kong, what are some of the other alternatives? We sort of did a breadth first search first, where we looked at all the sort of the API gateway landscape, and sort of refreshed our memories, because things have changed since, we did something similar back when we initially selected Kong. A lot has changed in the year and a half, 2 years, whenever that was. So we took a look at that, and we looked at the various options there, and then selected a handful that were sort of the leaders of the pack, seemed like they would be the best fit for our needs. And we did some deep dives on those. And so those were API 6 from the Apache Foundation. Glue, there are actually two API gateways out there called Glue. This one is GLOO as opposed to GLUU. I know that's confusing. And then we also looked at OpenResty, which is not an API gateway per se, but more of a framework that some of these other API gateways are built upon, including, I believe, Kong. So we did some sort of deep dives or POCs into those. And all this stuff is, by the way, is in the links that that I provided, and they're a little bit lower in the, if you scroll down a little bit, yeah, they're all here. So feel free to dig into those details. I don't think we have time to go through all this in a fine-tooth comb. But as far as what were sort of some of our metrics that we were considering when we looked at all of these various options, we looked at a bunch of different things. So impact to various groups within the community, including developers themselves, DevOps and SysOps, et cetera. Obviously, when you're making a change to a piece of infrastructure like this, it's going to have some impact on those that host it, including self-hosters and so forth. So that was definitely at the forefront of our mind. We looked at cost. We looked at licensing and risk. We don't want to be in a situation where we're getting bit by the same thing that we did previously, where some corporation is a main contributor to the project, and then they decide that they don't want to do that anymore, or they change your licensing model or whatnot. So, looking at the health of the community, community size and activity, all that stuff is really important here. We also looked at performance and scalability. Does it support high availability mode? What is the expected performance and so forth? And then finally, compatibility. Is it a good fit given where we are today with Folio? Is it more or less a drop-in replacement of Kong? Would it require a whole lot of development effort to integrate with this new thing and so forth? So that's at a high level. Those are sort of the metrics we looked at. There's obviously going to be other things that we discussed and captured in the and as part of these investigations, including things like, does it provide a graphical user interface for the control plane and so forth. So you'll see that sprinkled through some of these, but I won't, in the interest of time, I won't go through every single metric that we looked at. So maybe I'll take the screen and I'll just walk us through the last page in the list there. Just a moment. So before I get into it, any other questions before I dive in? On sort of the background or context here. Okay. So this is sort of the most recent page. It served as sort of a comparison between the front runners that we were looking at, API 6 and Glue, in comparison to where we are today with Kong, which is sort of the baseline here. And so there's a lot that went into this. Kudos to Victor Gemma, who did pretty much all of these spikes and investigations, I think, save the one about building Kong ourselves. I think a lot of good time and effort went into this, and it shows. So going through this, we can start at the executive summary if we'd like. You can see that there's some scoring mechanism that was used here, and it's sort of weighted based on the various metrics. In a nutshell, Kong at baseline this is where we are today. API 6 differs a little bit It actually provides better performance. We'll get to that, at least on paper, right? And than Kong. Again, as far as cost efficiency, it's open source. Cost here also gets into sort of cost of hosting, cost of maintaining, and so forth, right? Hidden costs of infrastructure, the way it's referred to here. And a lot of the plugins that are available there, this Lua compatibility speaks to a lot of the plugins that we're currently using in Kong. I think API 6 has very similar functionality that's provided there via very similar plugins. Primary concerns here are that the community maturity relative to Kong, I'm not even sure it's a pretty vibrant community. There are blog posts that seem very frequent. They even do like monthly updates. I was just looking at this earlier today. Here's a monthly update for November. Seems like they post something like this at the end of each month. They go through, they acknowledge some of the contributors and highlight some of the features and so forth. November is actually pretty light. In other ones, you can see a lot more is going on. So from my perspective, I think community is not necessarily a concern here. Sorry, wrong page. Here we go. Glue Edge is as far as pros go, yeah, it's Kubernetes native, which makes it attractive. I know that a lot of hosting providers, self-hosters, and so forth are using the Kubernetes stack. The downsides here are that there are a lot more moving parts, and there is sort of it's not sort of from the Apache Foundation like API 6. In fact, there's a corporate it's corporation backed, and so you're kind of running the same risk that we were with Kong here. I think performance is somewhere in between Kong and API 6, if I remember correctly, but we'll get to that in a little bit. So let's see. I'm not sure what I really want to dig into here. I think maybe just taking a quick poll. Has everyone had a chance to review this on their own? Is it helpful to go through it in detail here, or am I repeating stuff that you already know?
I find it helpful to go through it, but that's just
Okay.
me.
Yeah, that's fine. All right. And since I didn't do the investigation myself, I obviously reviewed this work, but Victor, I might ask you to jump in here in specific places if there are questions. So just keep that in mind. Let's see. Maybe I'll just hit on the various matrices, and then if we need to go back up and cover some of this, we can. So here we are. This is sort of the core functionality or architecture of the various gateways. We have Kong, API 6, Glue. So the underlying proxy here, just like with Kong, is very similar. It's Nginx with OpenResty. That's that framework I was mentioning earlier. So very similar architecture in that regard. Glue Edge is using Envoy proxy here. And so the analysis for Folio, API 6 optimizes Nginx for dynamic config better than Kong. Envoy is powerful but introduces higher complexity. And that's sort of going to be a theme that you'll see throughout this, I think. For config store, here's where we start to see differences between Kong and API 6. With Kong, part of the reason why we selected it is because it works, its persistence layer works with Postgres, and that's something that Folio is obviously already using. API 6 does not use Postgres. I think there are adapters that allow you to do that, but it gets really complicated. And I think, Victor, if I remember correctly, it just wasn't worth it, right? So
I've tried to both of them, and it's one that's failed, one looks like running, but then again failed. So I don't believe we can use any of adapters to directly store configuration in Postgres. It would be much benefit to use etcd, which are kind of standard for IP6.
Yeah, so I mean, by just using etcd, we're avoiding a lot of that complexity of additional sort of intermediate layers there. And it's actually, I think, one of the strengths of API 6 is this etcd thing, and in terms of quickness of disseminating config changes, which isn't something that we typically have to worry about, but it's something to note. For a Glue Edge, do you have more options? Are you looking at Kubernetes CRDs, etcd, or console? But again, the theme here is more moving parts when it comes to Glue. And this is what we're talking, what I was kind of referring to, near real-time convergence, critical for dynamic tenant routing. And that's talking about etcd, as opposed to Postgres. For language of plugins, similar again to Kong in that Lua is sort of the primary one, but with API 6, it does support things like Java, Go, which are more applicable to the Folio project. For Glue, not so much, right? So yeah, API 6 supports the widest range, and yeah. This the support for Lua makes the transition from Kong would make the transition from Kong, I think, a little bit more simple. Hot reload, that is sort of dynamically loading what like plugins and config changes. I believe that's what that refers to. This is what I was talking about. So with Kong, it's basically like pulling that shared database across all the various instances. So if you have multiple instances of Kong running, sort of in a high availability mode, they're all pointing to the same database and sort of pulling that for updates. So there could be some delay in propagating changes, right? With API 6, it's all event driven, as with Glue. And I think this is where etcd comes into the picture here. So again, typically, I mean, this isn't a main concern for us. We typically set up things once, and then once it's up and running, at least for that release or whatnot. The routes aren't changing. A lot of this configuration isn't changing frequently. So as long as you don't get bit by this during the initial setup or upgrade or whatnot, it's typically not a big deal. But it's worth noting as a potential plus here. Performance benchmarks. Victor, I don't think we did any benchmarking ourselves, did we? These numbers that
No,
were reported from.
it's public. Yeah, that's what I'm grabbed from internet. It's not our
Yeah, so
internal.
take it with a grain of salt. I mean, you know how projects like to report their performances better than others, but so just take it with a grain of salt. But even with the numbers that were sort of self-reported, it looks like API 6 it has the highest request per second, the lowest latency of the three options, lowest memory usage of the three options, and this route convergence is referring to the configuration changes and how long it takes to sort of disseminate those. So, Victor, do you want to speak to the details of this a little bit? I know that there's some you have an understanding of why they can claim this higher performance. Do you want to just touch on that real quick? It has to do with this, the radix tree thing.
They are kind of implement logic. So what I do to Kong when we are using regex in the routine, that's exactly what we are using in our in Folio. They are kind of running brute force logic to find the matching and routing to the proper upstreams. But for AP6, they implement this radix tree, which are kind of built tree, and try to avoid this brute force and kind of find much faster matching to properly routing to proper upstream. Yeah, that's kind of, I would say, would be give us some benefits. We actually got some problems in the past when we are introduce like Kong and try to handle each of the new how to say it independent routine for each of the model plus versioning plus tenant. This was our initial setup, and when we are start to push it to big amount of tenants, we are noticing the Kong start to really slow down, and it have to be run much more resources and running on the cluster. Let's see, we don't do it the same test with IP6, but I believe it would be reduce this and really help us to avoid the situation.
It's
also I'm actually comparing the memory usage. Yeah, that's what I'm highlight. And it's really just to run the same like conk with the same like number of roads, without any, of course, traffics, but it's used less memory than conk, so IP6. But Glue really much more used memory. It's true. It's kind of two or three times more using memory. It's actually was a surprise for me, but yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, that's REST, I believe. Yeah, it's not really important that updates once config changes, which are don't really currently affect us since we are in a established environment and don't really make so often updates. But yeah, that would be good to know that don't need to wait the next 5, 10 seconds once we make the entitlement or update the routing. Yeah, this kind of also bring us some benefits. If we are future, we'll be need this.
Okay, so the main takeaway is that API 6 has more efficient routing logic, right?
Yeah.
Instead of saying, does the request match this route? No. Does this ma does it match the next one? No. Does it match the next one? No. It's more of a lookup as opposed to a search, right? Which I think it is why is how they can achieve the higher performance here. Okay. Moving along, thank you, Victor. Community and ecosystem. I mean, I think this stuff is pretty self-explanatory here. GitHub stars, not as many as Kong, but more than Glue. Contributors, actually the highest number of the three belongs to API 6. And then for governance, I already touched on this, but API 6 is under the Apache Foundation, and there isn't sort of a single corporation who's a sort of predominant contributor. As I mentioned earlier, I mean, you can see they even like sort of highlight some of their main contributors, new contributors on a monthly basis. So I think that's pretty neat. And I think that sort of does mitigate the risk of us finding ourselves in the situation again in a year or 2 years. All right, infrastructure cost. Let's see, do we want to touch on this? Probably. Yeah, this is getting into whether or not there are hidden costs associated with supporting the infrastructure. Yeah, etcd is lightweight. Obviously, we're already using Postgres here. Victor was pointing to RDS, which is sort of the AWS hosted version of Postgres that at least EBSCO is using. I'm not sure about others. But I think the conclusions are going to be the same, where etcd is lightweight. Use of Postgres can get expensive. And then for Glue, I think we're looking at a little bit more moving parts and complexity. Yeah, you can see the risk here. If any of these components fail, the entire gateway can become unstable, non-functional, yada yada yada. And so you can also do snapshotting of etcd. And this is something that is fairly commonly used with Kubernetes, is my understanding. So maybe there's already some familiarity with it.
Yeah. If you are hosted Kubernetes and on premise, you are like running etcd for as part of this kind of Kubernetes, but it's part of Kubernetes cluster, but you can't reuse this, and it's not really what we are expected. You are still need to be run another pods, but yeah, guys who really handle it as Kubernetes should be really familiar with etcd. It's because it's kind of really part of Kubernetes. It's kind of core functionality.
Okay. Migration complexity. So yeah, we have this Folio Kong project, which is sort of a wrapper over the exist of just the community Kong version, open source version of Kong. And we provide some additional sort of baseline configuration, custom logic and plugins and so forth. This is where we can declaratively say, yeah, we want to, install this plugin and set it up this way and so forth. Right, so how do we migrate to one of these other gateways? Do they support something similar? That was essentially the question we're trying to answer here. And for API 6, it's low to medium, and there's a There's this Kong to API 6, which tool, which sort of helps with this sort of migration. I think that's a huge win for us. And the fact that both support Lua and many of the plugins are very similar, I think works in our favor here as well. For Glue, it's a slightly different situation. There is no tooling that at least that I'm aware of, like this Kong to API 6 is nothing equivalent for Glue. And again, the plugins are not Lua based, and so exactly how this works might be different. There's more work would need to go into it, I think. Folio specific considerations. This is probably less
Craig.
important. Oh, go ahead,
So,
Mark.
yeah, sorry to interrupt the flow. A quick question about the migration. Which team or teams would be involved in the migration? Is the scope limited to one team, or it has to be done across the entire
Yeah,
group?
I would like let's hold off on that for now. I'd like to just get through this. We're almost to the end, and then I think that's part of the next conversation of okay, what does it mean to adopt one of these new alternatives? What are the moving parts and so forth? So I'll get there, just not quite yet.
Sounds good. Sounds
Yeah,
good.
keep me honest. Don't let me forget about that. All right. Folio specific considerations. FIPS compliance is something that may be relevant for some customers, but probably not many. And so I won't spend too much time on this. API 6 is the only one of the three open source versions, at least, that provides this functionality out of the box, which is nice. Yeah, probably not too much more we need to spend on that. Decision framework. So this is just covering again the basically how that initial how these scores were reached, right? This is getting into the details of that. Sorry about all the scrolling. Here we go. So the scoring sort of breakdown in a little bit more detail for cost efficiency, and you can see the weights here. Kong scored a 4 out of 10. Apache API 6 scored a 9 out of 10, and then Glue got a 6. So you can see the sort of the highest score is bolded here, and it for performance, migration ease, Folio fit, all these in basically all the categories, you can see that API 6 is has the highest score here. And some of this is subjective. So I mean if there are questions about it, we can discuss. But you can kind of sense where at least it feels like API 6 might be the best match for us, right? Which leads us to Victor's recommendation here of going with API 6. There's more on the migration stuff here. But okay, so now let's answer your question, Mark, about what exactly does this mean for integration with, let's say we select one of these things. What does it mean to adopt it? I think this is where Eureka actually, I mean, with Eureka, we moved to single purpose components, and I think that works well for us here because if you look at the code base, there's only really one place in the Folio code base which interacts with the control plane of the API gateway, Kong, right? And that's one of the manager components, manager applications. And so swapping out Kong for something else means that you'll need to make some adjustments in that manager component, but individual modules, even the sidecars don't and so forth don't need to change at all, aside from the fact that we named environment variables in some places like the sidecars, like Kong underscore and so forth. I think we probably should have made that a little bit more general to like API gateway. So changes beyond application manager probably involve, just generalizing some environment variables or something like that. But because the sort of footprint of this is fairly small, it means that sorry, getting pinged off the side here. It means that I lost my train of thought. What was I saying? Oh yeah, so since it's only the application manager that would need to change, We don't need to like make sweeping changes across the board. I think that's going to work for us. And it also means that we have the opportunity to have sort of a transition plan where, or a transition period where we might support both Kong and one of these alternatives, right? And make it a configuration sort of flag or toggle at startup to sort of ease the transition and allow system operators who are going to be the ones affected mostly by this. That, like I said, the developers, this will impact the Eureka team, of course, but as far as individual development teams, probably not so much at all. Maybe they need to rename some environment variables. I think it's the system operators who are going to be affected most by this because they'll need to learn how to host whichever the alternative is that we choose. And if that's API 6, that means also learning how to host etcd. If it's Glue, it means learning how to host the three or four other components in addition to console or etcd or whatnot. And there are specifics about that in one of these. Which one? It's got to be this one. I believe that there's a I want to say that there was a visual. I don't see it here. Victor, where was that visual? Oh, here it is. It just hadn't loaded yet. So you can see that there are a lot more boxes in these diagrams, right? And so there's more hosting. You need to host more things if you're going to go with Glue. And as mentioned previously, if any of those things are go down for whatever reason, things are going to break. Sort of across the board for your gateway. So, did I answer your question, Mark?
I think so. So basically, you're saying that the changes are going to be primarily restricted to Application Manager, and then standardization of environment variables, which may be undertaken by different development teams that use those environment variables.
Yeah, and I think even mo in most of those cases, it's going to be Eureka still, right? I mean, I wouldn't expect that there. I don't think that there are any references to Kong and say mod inventory or anything like that. It would be like the sidecars, or maybe, yeah. I'm kind of struggling to think of any other places where we might have references to Kong. It's essentially the manager components and maybe in the sidecars.
I see. And
Yep.
And
similarly.
maybe Keycloak. I think Keycloak has a couple of references in there.
Okay. Yep, maybe.
And that still falls under the purview of the Eureka.
Eureka.
Yeah. Okay. All right, cool. Thank
I
you.
see Wayne's hand. Yep, no problem, Mark. Go ahead, Wayne.
Yeah, I was just gonna say for operations, it would be really lovely if the development teams could undertake a deprecation strategy for environment variables rather than just saying, oh, okay, now it's called this.
Obviously, I mentioned the sort of the transition as far as supporting multiple gateways for some period of time. Yeah, I think following a deprecation strategy there makes sense. But also, to your point, when you're changing environment variables, we need to do so in a way that isn't jarring, right? And it's just going to break things left and right because it's not everyone can make adjustments at the same exact time. So, yeah, it's a deprecation policy or approach there makes sense. Any other questions before I keep going? And honestly, I'm not even sure what else you'd like me to cover here. If you'd like me to drill into API 6 and more, or go into Glue or whatnot, we can do that. All right, go ahead, Wayne, and then Shelley.
I wondered if API stability of the gateways was included in the decision-making process.
You mean for the control plane?
Yeah, exactly.
Victor, I don't know. Is that something that you really took a close look at?
You mean stability? Not really, but both of them are on top on the same framework, like OpenResty and Jinx. That we can evaluate, but In my mind, it should be a core functionality at least once it's kind of configure establish all of the core functionality on Open REST and Nginx routing, etc. stuff. So it shouldn't be different than conk in my mind.
Yeah, and again, if there were changes there, it would really only affect the application manager, I think, Wayne.
Yeah,
But
that makes sense.
yeah, I mean, these things are pretty, all three of these, I think, are pretty mature. I know API 6, we actually evaluated it back initially as one of, well, before we chose Kong. And I think it's come a long way since then. If I remember correctly, back when we were doing the initial technology evaluation or selection process, there were a lot of like security issues and so forth, but you could see it's definitely trended in the right direction. And you know what? I remember seeing something in the blog. It's all right. I won't dig it up now. I mean, you could look at the blog, and they make posts there whenever there are sort of significant security issues. And you can look at them and see if for like 2021 there were five or six of these things, and then in 2022 there were like two, and then in years since 2022 it's like, oh, there's been one or zero each year. So definitely they've come a long way since in the last few years here, and I think at least with API 6 that's really promising. I haven't looked to see if Glue has a blog. In fact, I just looked for the API 6 one yesterday. So maybe they have a similar blog. I don't know. Shelley, did you have something?
Yeah. Actually, I think it is probably similar to Wayne's question. It's around, I guess, versioning and the versioning for API 6 and how often we have to change versions for our Flower releases for Folio. Is there any idea? Can anybody speak to like the upgrade velocity, I guess.
That definitely came up in conversations. I don't know if it's captured here or not. I will say that at least for API 6, I don't think they have like a regular sort of release cadence. It's not like they have, we make a release every April and November or anything like that. It's sort of, but the releases do seem fairly frequently, maybe every month or every 2 months or something like that.
Yeah, closely to one everyone's, yeah.
And for Glue, I don't see anything jumping out at me here in terms of release cadence. Do you happen to know, Victor?
It could be on the first page when we adjust. It was list of much more. Yeah, it was first, yeah, not in this, and it was, yeah, somewhere there. Oh, no, glue is not covered. Yeah, probably I missed this. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I think Glue entered the equation after we had done this initial
Yeah,
review.
yeah, yeah. So I
It was
guess I'm
something.
just wondering how that would fit
Oh.
into like having to upgrade API 6 or, you know, the.
I think it would continue to fall into the same category of that fast-moving infrastructure like we have KeyCloak and Kong right now. It's certainly not going to align well with the Folio cadence of Flower release once or twice a year or three times a year, whatever that is, right? So I think it's essentially no change in that regard. Where I think the policy, if I remember correctly, that the TC came up with for fast moving infrastructure is whenever there's a new release of so Folio KeyCloak or Folio Kong, we encourage system operators to upgrade at their earliest convenience. It's something like that. Is that right, Jen or Lamide, Maccabee, whoever might know off the top of your heads? I mean, I guess I could pull it up too. Let's see.
Sorry, finding my button. Yeah, you're right.
Okay. I'm not even sure where it lives nowadays. Where am I looking here? Here we go. So just to really formally answer your question, we have fast-moving infrastructure. So the policy is system operators are highly encouraged to update to the latest version of these components as they're released. So Folio Kong, Folio Keycloak, Folio Glue, Folio API 6, I think would be in this very, very similar situation here. Go ahead, Shelley.
Yeah, so another question about the whatever alternative you go with, I'm assuming that the Folio community will be building the image so that self-hosters could pull from it and use
It's
that
going to be
when.
very similar. Like we have Folio Kong. That's kind of what I was
Yeah.
just alluding to. I think we would have Folio Glue or Folio API 6 or whatever it is we choose, right?
Yeah.
Because
And
we do have that sort of baseline configuration and plugin configuration and stuff like that that we want to provide out of the box, right? So that you're not just using the plain old image from the open source project. You're using sort of the Folio version that gives you that sort of baseline configuration.
right.
All right, go ahead, Jeremy.
If we wanted to build the image ourselves, would those baseline configurations be documented?
Yeah, I mean, I can show you exactly what I'm referring to give you a better sense of it. And maybe Victor can jump in here too once I pull it up. So Kong has this thing, this declarative language called Dec that it uses. And let's see, it would be in here. You can see we have a couple of these things. This one up here is about configuring this auth headers manager plugin. So it's like a was this YAML? Very similar for cores. This is a plugin that handles pre-flight core stuff and so forth. You can see it even refers to DEC. So I think if I understand correctly, API 6 that Kong to API 6 tool will consume this DEC stuff and spit out something essentially the API 6 equivalent. Is that right, Victor?
Yeah, it's mostly the same. Yeah, because it's part of OpenREST functionality and Nginx. Yeah.
Okay, so it might even look very similar to this. So yes, this will be obviously committed to source control and so forth, very similar to what you're seeing here. All right, any other questions or comments?
Yeah, sorry, I didn't raise my hand. I just thought I'd jump in.
Go ahead.
So you mentioned that with API 6, Nginx was mentioned as the underlying proxy. But Nginx is going away in the new year, right? End of life and Nginx something. All it that's what
NGINX
I've
is
been
going
told.
away in the new year. That's news to me.
Am I misspeaking? I'm sure other people are aware of this.
Go ahead, Wayne. Yeah.
Nginx is being deprecated as the default ingress controller for Kubernetes.
Oh, okay.
However, certain Kubernetes distributions, specifically, I believe, SUSE Rancher is going to continue using it as their ingress controller, will maintain it for, I don't know, I think they said at least a year or two, especially if you, I think, have a Rancher Prime subscription. There are all alternatives being, floated for this, including things like traffic. And there's talk of, possibly someone else picking up the mantle of the Nginx Ingress project and continuing maintenance of it. So it's being deprecated, but it's not dead yet.
It's being deprecated by Kubernetes, right? It's
Yes.
the use
I,
of
yeah.
Nginx. Nginx itself, as far as I know,
Yeah.
isn't going anywhere.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
Thanks for
It's
clarifying that. Yeah.
just the ingress controller, and it's the fork that they originally forked however many years ago it was now, like 10 or something like that. of the standard open source Nginx project. So it's just the Kubernetes fork that's going away.
Okay.
Office
Yeah,
off
that's
it.
good. Good distinction. Yeah.
Yeah.
When you
Yeah.
said that, Shelley, I had a little bit of a, oh my God,
Yeah,
what's
sorry
happening?
about that.
Yeah, I'm actually sent on the chat the link. Actually, that would be probably replacement for Nginx Ingress controller. They would be still use Nginx Gateway Fabric. That's what we're currently discussing, if I understand.
Interesting. Thanks, Victor.
So yeah, I guess I wonder if. That being what we had just discussed about the Nginx Ingress controller being taken out of Kubernetes, if that has any bearing on any of this analysis.
I'm sorry, one more time. I was clicking on links from the chat.
Yeah, no, I was
My
just
bad.
wondering if like if you know what we had just discussed about Nginx Ingress controller being taken out of the Kubernetes distribution or whatever is somehow has any bearing on any of this analysis with regard to the underlying proxy feature here in this matrix that you're showing.
I can't say for sure, but I don't think it has anything to do with it, honestly. Maybe
Okay.
someone that's closer to Kubernetes can chime in.
It looks like, as I understand correctly, they want to deprecate this since they don't want to maintain their branch and to keep spend like resources. You see, so that's not really to depend to performance or problems. As I understand, they don't want to be spent more time as Kubernetes, yeah, from their perspective.
Okay, thank you.
Go ahead, Florian.
Yeah, they just the Ingress API will be deprecated and will be replaced by the Gateway API, and the open source Nginx Ingress controller will be deprecated, and a new Ingress controller, a new Gateway API controller will be built on based on Nginx. So it's just a move of technology from an old API to a new, and the Ingress API will stay for some time, but overall it has nothing to do with this integration of Ingress in of Nginx in a Gateway API.
Thanks for clarifying. Go ahead, Todd.
It also, the Kubernetes documentation also points to the existence of an API 6 ingress controller. I just chased that down, and the API ingress controller is a project under Apache, and it seems to be quite active. So, you know, what that means in terms of, like, if Well, yeah, what that means for what Florian was saying about Ingress API being deprecated, I don't know, but it certainly seems like there's active community interest in API 6 working with Kubernetes.
All right, so do we want to talk about next steps here? Or are there more questions about the various options and sort of the investigations that were done? Charlotte, did you have your hand up? Or maybe I missaw that, I don't know. Okay. Go ahead, Kevin.
How do you think this would impact Eureka deployments going forward?
I'm not sure in what way do you mean?
The migration. I know the Eureka schedule is behind. Would this make it further behind?
It's a good question. I think it depends on which one we select. I mean, if we're going with the front runner in my mind, which is API 6, then I don't think that there's a ton of work that needs to happen before we can support both Kong and API 6. Obviously, we haven't written any stories. We haven't estimated it or discussed details with the development team yet. But I think we could, on paper, I think we could probably get it out the door in a reasonable amount of time, and start using it, say, in Trillium or something like that, right? As far as transitioning from Okapi to Eureka, that's going to depend on it's going to be a case by case basis thing, right? Because some people are adopting it with Sunflower. I think some institutions are still sticking with Okapi until Trillium, and so it depends on what your institution's plans are and the timing of everything.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. All right, so for next steps, what are we looking at here? I mean, I think it's clear to me what the best candidate is, but do we have sort of lazy consensus on API 6 here? Should we proceed with that and could start sort of building out a backlog of work, like I said, mostly for the Eureka team, but we'll probably also want to come up with stories and a trans and a plan for making adjustments to the environment variables as well. I mean, in fact, we don't have to change the environment variable stuff right away. It's more of a eventually we should clean that up if because it's someday we're going to be completely off Kong, and having environment variables that are still named that way is can be confusing. So, yeah, what do you guys think about next steps here?
Well, first of all, thank you for the. I want to thank everybody for the time they put in and evaluating their options here, and the comprehensive review of each option and the thoughtfulness that went into making this recommendation. I think that it's likely we should kind of gauge what a migration would cost in terms of development time and. I don't know if there have been any spikes done with any of these just to kind of, put our toes in the water, but that does seem like a logical next steps to evaluate what the timeline could look like for transitioning and what the first real possibility for a release with API 6 versus Kong would look like.
So you're referring to at the actual development costs as far as time goes, like when we might realistically have this rolled out and ready to go. Is that what you're asking for?
Yeah, like, because I you can't do this tomorrow, right?
Right.
So
Yep.
if we do
Yeah.
decide to move forward with API 6, and it seems like this is the direction that we're leaning via your recommendations plus the lazy consensus model. So I think it would be wise to kind of try to ascertain what the costs would be in terms of development effort, and then when we might be able to expect the first release candidate with API 6 versus Kong. Would it be, 2026? Would it be 2027?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think it would be in the 2026 time frame. But yeah, I think in order to get that answer, we would need to flesh out that backlog, get the stories estimated at least at like a high level t-shirt size level. And then we can report back on that and give you guys a realistic estimate for when the stuff might be ready. But in order to do that, we need to make a decision on which one we're going with, right? And I haven't heard any objections to API 6, but if you have them or if you have concerns, now's the time, I'd say. Go ahead, Shelley.
Sorry, another question. And it's probably you answered this, which is it seems to be that everybody else who is using the open source version of Kong are probably going to API 6 because of that tool that you showed. There's some migration tool of Kong to API 6, right? But yeah, the question is that what people are doing? Is that what other people are doing? What was it not possible to like, hey, let's make Kong the Folio.org open source community, like let's just take it on and bring other people in to support the open source version of Kong. But so the question is like, is that what other people are doing too? Other people who use Kong, they're going to API 6?
It's hard. I'll try my best to answer this. It's hard to say what others are doing, right? But we have been keeping an eye on it and sort of hoping that the broader community would step up and start like owning this thing and maintaining it. And okay, well, if Kong Incorporated isn't going to do it, we're going to form our own governance and we're going to start, doing X, Y, and Z. As far as we can tell, that hasn't happened. And this has been going on for, I mean, I think the news about Kong Incorporated changing their minds about contributing to the open source project were like back in like June or July, if I'm not mistaken. So no one stepped up yet. I mean, that just suggests that maybe it's not going to happen. As far as what other people are doing, it's hard to say. I don't know. Sorry for the half answer. And Victor, do you have any more insight than that?
No, I don't really
No.
investigate. I don't know. We can probably look it through the internet, but
I have seen, I mean, I stumbled upon something somewhere along the way. I think it was for like Spring Cloud Gateway or something like that, where they had, oh, well, we have this migration tool to migrate you from Kong to our new thing. I think it was like, I forget. Spring Cloud Gateway or Envoy something or other, but it's like, oh, but that thing is also a corporate like enterprise version thing. So people are trying to capitalize on Kong's decision. It isn't clear how much success they're having, or if there are other really popular alternatives. It seems like API 6 is the no-brainer based on the investigation that we've done. Different projects have different requirements as well, right? So it's hard to say. All right. Well, I'm not hearing any objections? So I think that tells me that maybe that's a green light for me to start fleshing out the backlog here for API 6. And then what was it with Steven? We can report back once we have a realistic estimate for when the work can be done.
yeah, because I can imagine this might affect some institutions' Eureka implementation plan. If they know they're going to have to change a major component of the platform before they or when they move to Eureka, they might be wanting to postpone their Eureka move until the platform is stabilized on the new technology.
Yeah, I mean, I think timing here is everything. No one wants to implement this against Kong and then a week later say, oh, now we have to do the same thing all over for API 6. So yeah, timing is going to be an important consideration here. Go ahead, Wayne.
Just to reiterate, I mean, I think if this can possibly be settled by that
Oops,
we can.
did we lose Wayne? Can anyone else hear him?
Yeah, he got quiet.
You hear me now?
Very softly. I think, did your like mic batteries die or something? Your headphone batteries?
Give me, you know what? I'll comment in the chat.
Okay. I mean, we can kind of hear you, but yeah, chat might be better.
So while Wayne is typing his comments in the chat, so a question about adoption. So functionally, whether it's API 6 or Glue or Kong under the hood, it doesn't change the functionality, right? So from that perspective, if there are people who want to experiment with migrating to Eureka, would it be advisable not to wait until Kong is replaced with another API gateway? Or would you consider it to be a wasted effort, Craig?
I don't know how to answer that until I have more info on how long this will take. And my guess is that, and honestly, I'm not even sure what the official Trillium date is, if we've landed on that or not. But my guess is we could probably get this into Trillium. Like I said, the development changes aren't perceived to be that significant. I mean, this isn't like months and months and months worth of work from my perspective, and I'm not super close to the code, so maybe that's off. But until we get, the work defined and estimated by the team, I can't say with much confidence whether or not holding off makes more sense, or adopting Kong and then switching later on to API 6 later in the year or something. I'm not sure which one makes the most sense. So yeah, it's hard. It's a difficult thing to answer without having some estimates in front of me.
That's fair. I think the group will be reporting at the RMS group's meeting on Monday the proposed GA date for Trillium. And so I'll let the cat out of the bag on this. And they're targeting late spring for that. I think Alexei is still working out the final date that will be presented at the RMS group meeting, but it will be late May, so at the end of May.
Okay, we got a sneak preview here.
Yeah.
Fresh off the presses, guys.
But I'll deny everything what was said until there is an official report at the RMS group meeting on Monday.
Mark, do you mind repeating that just real quick for the no I'm, the yeah repeating the thing that you're going to disavow in 5 minutes, but in case I can't make it tomorrow.
RMS group meeting is on Monday. It's not tomorrow. I think Alexei is planning to announce the GA date at the end of May.
Okay.
I mean, the announcement will be on Monday, but the GA
Yeah, I
date
got it.
is, yeah.
Understood.
Yeah, I guess the other question will be how that aligns with the OST policy, because we've been holding off on re-updating the Trillium OST until the dates came out.
Right, and I
And
think this is
like you were
what.
saying, this is part of the OST, so I guess Craig will have to let us know. I don't know if he thinks it should be part of the Trillium OST.
Let me talk to the team. Let me define the work, get it estimated with the team. We have another refinement session scheduled for Friday, so maybe by, I mean, this is aggressive. Maybe by Monday I'll know more. We'll see. Can definitely keep you guys informed.
Monday would be moving faster than us, so that's okay.
I mean, for what it's worth, there it would be nice to have an understanding of, or at least a understanding of what the timing looks like before the holiday break, of course. So I think that's reasonable. We could probably get that to you guys before everyone breaks for the holidays. Okay, it looks like we're over time. Thank you for your attention, and I'll be in touch.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Bye.
Greg.